Welcome to the Leeds Church Institute podcast. To find out more about the Leeds Church Institute, visit lcileeds.org. Hi, welcome to Leeds Church Institute podcast. I'm Lawrence Cockrell. I used to work at LCI in the office, but now I work in a high school in East Leeds. And I'm here with Liz Mitchell. Not literally here, we've had to do this over Zoom, sadly. It's great to have you. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Liz Mitchell, and I'm currently a virtual teacher. That's my current role.
And we're reflecting on the past year in education. That's the coronavirus year, if you're listening to this in the far future. And we're thinking about how we can find hope during a pandemic. So Liz, can you think back to the start of lockdown last March? And when we went into lockdown, what were you expecting?
I wasn't expecting it. I can clearly say that I was blindsided by the lockdown, simply because I began career shifting about 18 months before the pandemic struck or hit her, you know, before that happened. So because I'd shifted from mainstream schools and opted for long-term supply work to do alongside my studies. And so because I was just in, you know, I'd been in a school since September, and, you know, I was doing acting Senko, head of learning, alongside studying, and I was enjoying that. And really just focusing on the studies. And yet then the pandemic struck and it was like, right, okay. Because my area of specialism is with those that have special needs or more vulnerable than the mainstream cohort, it was, even when the schools closed, there was still that immediate need to support the children that, you know, were at the time there were some children that needed to be in the building, that needed some consistency. So that continued briefly before then, obviously, contracts ended, everything locked down officially. Most people weren't going anywhere, were they? It was like, oh, right, okay. So it did take me by surprise because I hadn't really been following the daily news updates. I wasn't aware that in February, and I had been quite ill in the December, the December before the Christmas. So I all the COVID symptoms that I now hear of, I definitely had around the December period. So I was still quite, I feel like saying humbled by it. When you are weakened physically, it does do something to you. And I did have a few weeks where I had pain breathing and was feverish. So I'd started the new year kind of still in recuperation mode because I had been so weak over the Christmas period, and continued my studying. And so I was just kind of in autopilot, not really taking in any manicness or stuff, you know, the things that were on the news. I was aware of it. I did catch in the daily briefings. I logged into those, listened in. But there was oddly like a bit of, I kind of had a sense of peace. And I know it might sound odd, but it was a quite calm and peaceful process in a sense when the lockdown happened. It was a surprise, but it didn't throw me.
You kind of gearing up for quite a short lockdown.
I think what stuck out to me was the Prime Minister had even said in one of the earlier briefings about spring the following year. And I thought, yeah, that sounds about right. And so whereas there was this, yes, we're going to review it. And I just thought, right, I was just thinking long term. Because I'd already been, like I was saying, I was in the career shifting. So because I was in a transition type of mentality, I had already been thinking about, right, okay, so I've now got to just, you know, I've got another couple of years that I'm going to be doing from September studying. So I was just thinking on, let's, you know, support the family, do what we need to do, got a shielding mum and doing the things that needed to be done, yet still, yet making sure to just kind of not lose sight on that it will pass. You know, this is just for now. And it was just like, right, okay, supermarket, early morning, what time do they open? You know, and it was just kind of about creating new routines, really. You know, unfortunately for myself at that time, there was a lot of uncertainty because I was part of the supply teacher network. I am part of the supply teacher network. So for about 6 or 8 weeks, nobody had, there was uncertainty as to what was going to happen, even financially. There wasn't anything. For a while, because the government were obviously rolling out the just introducing the furlough scheme a few weeks in and gradually expanding who that catered for. I was
the start of lockdown in March, you didn't have any work, you were effectively out of work.
No, everything stopped, that's it. And there wasn't, I mean, I was actually really fortunate that the school that I was at agreed with the agency to, you know, to furlough me, myself and another supply member of staff. But I do know that, like, nationally, only about 40% of supply teachers at the time that could have been furloughed were furloughed. There's a, you know, only 40%. So I was within that cohort, fortunately, whereas there was many who it just ended. There was no other support other than, right, well, apply to the government for whatever they give. So there was that security and stability there. So I was very blessed in that respect to know that till the end of that academic year, there was something. Mm-hmm. So I think that definitely did help to keep that calm.
Okay. And how long did that last? Was that for?
Yeah, till the end of the academic year. So until the end of August. So I know that because of the sector that, with education, everything starts from September to August. So although it didn't nationally, I think the first wave of the furlough didn't finish until October. For some people it was extended. For the people that were critical, that had like quite, I think, is it critically vulnerable people who maybe got severe asthma or, you know, there were people who, dependent upon the agreements with their schools and agencies, were able to have support. I knew that I was just doing that academic year and again then starting on to the next couple of years on my own career development shift. So I knew I had starting a new postgraduate diploma part-time, so it was even about being able to reduce my teaching hours. So that's what I did.
Okay. And so were there any particular imagery or Bible verses that kind of sustained you through that time?
Definitely. And there's one in Isaiah that if anything, it's probably a bit of an anchor verse, I think, for me professionally. And it's the part where God says, even in the wilderness, you'll make a way. And it's in Isaiah 43:19. And that part of it, because that verse, I'll just kind of say it, read it if you don't mind. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And that latter part about, you know, the rivers in the desert, you know, it reminded me of the time when I had just qualified to teach. I trained in the mainstream school, and it was just like, oh, it's all consuming. You know, you just, all you live and breathe is your lesson and your classroom, and that's it. And I enjoyed it, but I just, I missed the pastoral side of things. And so the opportunity came for me to do my NQT year, which is something any teacher who qualifies has to do if they want to, you know, keep going in mainstream schools. And the opportunity came for me to do that in an alternative provision. And I remember initially being uncertain, like, oh, I don't know. Oh, there was lots of doubts and questions. And because of my routine of, you know, reading scripture on the morning, you know, I would be at work and I'd just kind of, but I was getting a bit earlier. And I remember I've got a little pocket Bible. I always had a little prayer, and then I just kind of opened it. I didn't even pick anywhere. I just broke it. And the part that my eyes fell on was that actual, that piece of scripture, that verse in Isaiah. And I was like, all right, okay. That has to be a sign. So I just kind of then cast those doubts to one side, and just, yeah, things worked out brilliantly. You know, we do lapse into our fleshly ways of doubt and uncertainty and all the things that God doesn't want us to do, but we still do anyway, because that's just how we are. We're not flawless. But yeah, that's definitely an anchor verse. He always makes a way, always.
Okay, and how have things changed for you over time? So what's been happening since September?
The only kind of main change really seems to be that I've got more of an online presence, having to spend more time facing a screen. So I've become, you know, part of different WhatsApp groups and social media groups to keep a foot of all the rapid changes of what's been happening. But educationally, it's been pretty much, because of the cohort of young people that I work with, it's never really changed in that respect, because there's always been that need. Mainstream schools have remained open, as have special schools and alternative provisions, of which I've still, you know, I've got friends in all of those settings. And so we, you know, conversed on the needs and the shifting timetables or routines of how to get through the situations that present themselves each day, if not each week, with the changes across the lockdown. In fact, that was one of the reasons as well that I opted to do more, you know, go to be a virtual teacher, as opposed to just doing the long-term supply, because it's a different ball game since the pandemic struck. So being a virtual teacher, though, isn't just about online, because for myself, it has been about actually giving one-to-one tuition and teaching in a care home. And I've also been into a mainstream school. So it is still about being in the physical space with somebody else, as opposed to just working on a screen. And there has been moments where I've shifted to online when one of my students had COVID. So that, you know, I tested negatively, but still at that point then it was shifting virtually. So it's something, though, that it's felt seamless. It has been a change. It doesn't feel like there's been much of a change, but it has. And I think it's about really just embracing that every day is different. And in education, there are always changes. Every year, I remember when I did the MPQML, the facilitator she'd been teaching for like about, I feel it was about 28 years. And she's just said that for every year that she'd been in education, there'd been something new. There'd always been a change, always been a shift. So I think that's why it has felt quite acceptable for me. And I think that it's only recently, I think just once we got into lockdown 2 and just before Christmas, that teachers were more prominent on the national radar of, oh yeah, actually they are at the front line and schools are quite a, what was the recent one, we heard a vector of transmission or something like that. It's like, yeah. I think that's been a little bit obvious for a while. But because in education, there is always change. So I think hats off to those that have continued to embrace it, because this is a change that nobody could have ever imagined. But just getting through it.
Great. And you've also been studying through this time as well, over the past year.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
How do you find that side of things, of being on the receiving end of education?
Oh, I'm actually enjoying it. It's we shifted at the start of the pandemic from, we were originally doing face-to-face sessions and then everything switched online. So I'm shifting into counselling and psychotherapy, and so it is different. I'm glad I've had experience of practicing skills in the same room with somebody. So now it is still a little bit of a learning curve, I think, for some. But we're at a point now where people are quite adjusted to using Zoom features or Microsoft Teams features. I'm not promoting either or anybody's, you know, it's each to their own, really. And learning how to navigate through them. I think the breakout rooms is a clever feature. And it's actually, if anything, I think I've probably done more CPD and more training remotely this year, well, throughout 2020, than now in 2021. Then, yeah, I've been able to access more learning opportunities than ever before. I was pretty happy to be able to attend a training program which runs over 2 days, which normally happens every year in London. So didn't need any train fare or overnight accommodation or anything. It was great. Mm-hmm. And there was even somebody from Canada that was there and another person from Australia. And they're like, yeah, we just, you know, somebody set their alarm early and got up. And it's brought a lot of people together and created a lot more opportunities to share and develop knowledge-wise and experience-wise. That has definitely changed and been enhanced throughout the lockdown experience.
Yeah, I think it's forced us to learn things which are worth hanging on to. Like the way that we've made things accessible, that there's a lot of people who were always struggled to reach stuff, and suddenly they've got access to stuff that previously was kind of held off from them. And I think that's
right.
And it can keep things accessible as we go forward.
Yeah, and as well, though, I just think as well, not forgetting, you know, that there are still some children that don't have access to a device, you know, to a laptop for themselves. And I noticed during this current lockdown number three, I saw a delivery driver and he had his young son at the side of him. And I just thought, brilliant. It reminded me of the younger days, kind of sat in my mum's car as she was finishing off, you know, her duties and stuff. But, and I just thought, oh, isn't that great? You know, he's out there with his dad or uncle or whoever it is to him, but he's still getting some experience and some live learning of sorts. But there are some larger families that have and not all necessarily all larger families, but in particular there's some that have struggled to adjust as smoothly. But
if the only device you have is a phone, or if your device is shared between several siblings, it gets really complicated. And that's not to mention access to internet and data, which can be a finite resource for a lot of people.
That's right. And it's there's been a lot of goodwill, I believe, that as well, with a lot of the telecoms. Do we call them telecoms companies still? Is that right? I don't know if I'm using old language here. Those people that provide us with data.
Yeah,
they've been all like, yeah, you know, we'll give 20 gigabytes free or whatever. And I think there's been a lot of people just stepping up to just say, right, we will ensure that this, you know, there's this access here for people for education if they wish. And I think that's been really, really good. And, you know, some will have access to that and sees it and some might not know about it. So supporting one another, there's been a lot of that, which has the education of knowing that everybody's, you know, there was a thing about somebody had said, we're all in the same boat, and we might be on in the same storm, but we're not on the same boat. Mm-hmm. And I think that the events throughout last year have highlighted that. You know, we had, you know, like the incidents of the racial trauma, which rippled across globally, and many for some it was quite a surprise, and for others it was just like, oh, okay, yeah. You know, like for myself culturally, it's, you know, coming from British West Indian parents who came as teenagers, it was another thing. It wasn't as of a surprise. It wasn't nice. But then we had all the Windrush scandal, and then we had all the COVID and the impact it had been highlighted on. I don't like the term BAME, but again, you know, the education around the needs of other people and how contrasting that might be and how it differs. And I think there has been a lot of, lessons learned, but I guess only time will tell, really. But I think there was a lot of learning globally, a lot of shared learning that happened.
Yeah. I think part of that comes from that there was, people had the space to express their feelings. And that was only possible because of lockdown. And actually, it's going to be really important to keep listening, to keep aware when people have got to go back to work and they're not necessarily free to tell what they need to say in the street.
Perfect point, because it's that being able to actually process something having the space to do that.
Where have you found hope during the pandemic?
My hope actually has oddly been in the uncertainty and in the quiet, just like we were saying about having those times to actually process and having the space to think. And I found that kind of, I'm always, again, another verse which always comes to me is about how it says, it's in Corinthians, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in those kind of times of hopelessness and uncertainty, that's when I've been able to just listen and pause, because I was fortunate enough last academic year to have a long-term placement in a Quaker school, and the emphasis was every day there was moments of silence and reflection, and that was encouraged and that was part of the routine. And I really welcomed that, because even though I'm now doing a different role, it has actually been very foundational for me spiritually as a Christian. It reminds me that, you know, it says, you know, God says, be still and know I'm the Lord. And that's what we have to do. And prior to the pandemic, I think globally, everything was continuing to run, definitely in the UK, 1,000 miles an hour. And we had no choice but to stop. Mm. You know, we had no choice but to pause. We had no choice but to take stock and reflect or adjust, or, you know, whatever it might be. Everything changed. And there had to be moments where you had to think, or you had to just be, you had to sit, you had to just walk outside for an hour or whatever. So definitely, my hope has, you know, it's through that peace though of in Christ that we have, you know, and it's not just a fancy song, but you know, having Christ at the center of it all is literally all it's about. And that's the only way that really I wouldn't have been able to get through otherwise. I don't, you know, it's
so that's what sustained you, is that those times of quiet, those times of peace.
Yeah, I'd say Christ sustains us, well, sustains me, and you know, and any Christian, regardless of whether we realize it or not. But when we draw closer, when we actually take the moments to just quiet the world, you know, turn off the TV, turn off, you know, just have a, you know, even if it's just a couple of minutes to sit in the car or stand outside or hide in the bathroom or wherever it might be, because it's important to listen, and it's important to just pause, because this world is always quick to tell us what it wants us to do, and you know, and how we should live, and there's lots of things trying to distract us, and it can be quite noisy, and especially with all the additional screen time, all the adverts flashing up everywhere, and you know, I think we've got to remember as well that for some people, the lockdown has been very distressing and very traumatic, and having to learn new ways to grieve as well. That has, you know, has been a big thing that has happened to everybody. So there's been a lot of learning and a lot of adjusting, you know, and yeah, I think it's definitely in those moments of actually, you know, taking time to be with God and to ask for that time to just reflect and pray, and just for that comfort. We don't always know the words, but we know how things feel, and we know sometimes there is uncertainty. But just to really trust in Him, and for me, it has been even in those times of uncertainty, and not even always knowing what to ask for. People always say, "Be specific when you pray." You know exactly what you want to pray for. Sometimes I don't even know. My gran used to say, "Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it." You know what I mean? And but that uncertainty, that's all right, because God knows His ways are not our ways, and to trust in that, and to be thankful that, you know, we have air in our lungs, and we can still be, you know, we can still talk, because there's others that aren't here anymore. And so being able to have that opportunity to still share of the hope that we have in Christ, I think has really been important, especially with those that have been, those older ones that have been more isolated, and some that are maybe younger as well, through ill health and have limited access, being able to kind of reach out and give that support has been really important. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Finally, what do you think are the biggest challenges that we can be thinking about and praying for when it comes to Christians who are in the world of education at the moment?
Yes, it follows on from that. Sometimes even hearing what God wants for us, you know, actually not getting, you know, it can be challenging not to get overwhelmed by everything that's presented around you to do. There's always going to be something that needs doing that is in it. You know, I've read somewhere saying you'll never get the empty tray. There's always going to be something in there to fill it up. But just knowing that there are going to be challenges, there are going to be changes. Some will be seem more overwhelming than others. But just being able to kind of take it back to Christ, you know, the challenges are just inevitable. We don't know what tomorrow brings. You know, look at how the lockdown for schools began this year, you know, on the Sunday the Prime Minister saying, yes, schools are safe, and every teacher is shouting at their screen going, what? But there might have been some that were just like, yeah, my school's really safe. And there might have been examples. There were some, one group I'm in, they were like, where's that school? A picture of like six children and very well spaced out. They're like, I want to work there. How come? Yeah, that's not my reality. You know, you had people that were like, well, their bubble is like 120. And someone's like, oh, I've got about 260. You know, it was like, they weren't kind of buying what was presented nationally. Some news outlets, I think, showed slightly more of a real visual, I'd say. But there is always going to be challenges. And I think the biggest challenge sometimes can be that not everybody knows your challenges. You know, not everybody knows how your reality is, because everybody has their own reality to deal with. And, you know, and that is just as it is. And you just have to, you know, you just have to trust in the Lord, and that, you know, he knows, and that's what matters. And it's like, pace yourself, don't burn out. That's another big challenge we've got. I think that it's still within 5 years, many new teachers leaving the profession. I did 16 years in schools, 17 years this year, actually, 10 of them pastorally. This will be my seventh year teaching. And I began a couple of years ago shifting into, you know, like I say, into a new profession of what worked for me, because I missed the pastoral side of it. I missed, hearing people's problems. I really missed that. That's what did it for me. You know, having a class of children sit quietly working, and it's nice, but it just didn't do it for me.
That's
just me personally. I had to think about, you know, what do I want to, you know, do I want to still be doing this in 10 years time, and, or, you know, what do I want to do for the rest of my days? And that's a big learning point, I think, for everybody, you know, doing what you feel comfortable doing, what you want to do, what you're happy with, and what you will, if Christ hasn't returned and I'm still on this planet in 10, 20 years' time, do I still want to be doing what I'm doing? So I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I was able to reflect and make the transition that I am currently on. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great talking to you. We look forward to speaking to you again sometime. Yeah, and hope the rest of this term goes okay for you.
Absolutely. In Christ alone, that's it. That's where we put our trust.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast from the Leeds Church Institute. To find out more about the Leeds Church Institute, visit lcileeds.org.